Greetings from Canada, and welcome to tape number 8, Secure Forever. Is it possible to be saved and then lose our salvation? In our last study, we saw from the Word of God that we cannot be saved by keeping the law or doing good works. It is only by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. Please review Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, and Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Now, in answer to this question, it is important to see at the very beginning that our salvation depends on the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary's cross, not on ourselves, or we would all be miserably lost. We are going to turn to many verses in the Word of God in this message and the next one, and we will see that the plain, unmistakable truth of the Word of God is that once a person is truly saved, he is secure forever. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, no, never perish. Neither shall any man snatch them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Here is an unconditional statement by our Lord Jesus Christ that He gives His own sheep eternal life. They shall never perish, that no one can take them out of His hand or out of His Father's hand. Listen well. One who has eternal life must be secure forever. One who shall never perish must be secure forever. One who cannot be taken out of Christ's hand or out of His Father's hand must be secure forever. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 30. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." Here is a series of truths about every believer. He is foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, glorified. This is like a chain with five links in that chain, stretching from a past eternity when God knew beforehand all about us, into a future eternity when we shall yet be glorified. Are you glorified in your body? Do you have a perfect, sinless body without disease and just like Jesus Christ? No, you do not, and neither do I. But we will have someday in the glory with Christ when we are with Him and like Him for all eternity. So that final link, number 5 of the chain, is yet to happen. It has not happened yet. And still, in this verse, it is looked at as already having taken place. Them He also glorified. If one of these links is broken, then all must fail. If you tell me that someone who is truly saved can lose his salvation, then this chain forged and made by God Himself must be broken. God is a failure. Jesus Christ is a liar. And the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary is useless. No, my friend, no, never believe that. That is blasphemy. What God begins, God finishes. None of these truths are stated as a possible attainment of the believer, but as an already accomplished fact. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God's performance is not conditioned by our actions or our continued belief. It is unconditional. He will perform it. Therefore, if God has begun a good work in you, you are secure forever. Read with me, please, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. "I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor can anything be taken from it. God does it that men should fear before Him." Amen? Praise God. All I can say to a passage like that is hallelujah. Jude, verse 24, reads this way, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." When Jesus comes for His own, we will stand before God faultless, because our sin has been taken away at Calvary. We cannot fall from salvation. God will not let us. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's chosen ones? It is God that justifies. Who is he who condemns? This, my friend, is you and me. God has chosen us. God has justified us, and no one can take that truth away. God has justified, declared righteous every believer. Can anyone bring a charge against those whom God has declared righteous? Listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, that means no juju, no orisha, not even eshu, nothing. Things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For a born-again believer, someone who is truly saved to be lost, he must somehow be separated from the love of God and become an object of God's hatred. These verses make it very clear that absolutely nothing can bring about that separation. To say it is possible to be separated from the love of God and to be lost is to deny these verses. It is to deny God Himself, because God wrote these verses. The believer must be secure forever. Please, please, do not call God a liar. What about my sins? Sins are not mentioned in this verse. Perhaps I can take myself away from the love of God because of my sins. Does it not say in this verse, things present? The Word of God says that sin is present with us. Therefore, sins are included in this verse. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 to 25 would tell us this very, very clearly. But this man, Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, to save them completely, forever, those who come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Redemption means to buy by paying a price, by giving naira, by giving kwacha, by giving sedis, by giving tambala. Every true believer has been redeemed from the law and the penalty, the result of the law, with the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 tell us this very clearly. We have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Since that is an eternal redemption, we are secure forever. Read with me again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Listen well. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he, Jesus, is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. We are kept by the power of God, not ourselves, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If we had to keep our own salvation, we would certainly lose it. But it is God himself who keeps us. The true believer can never be lost. He is secure forever. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. This verse does not say that it will happen if I keep the Ten Commandments, or if I do not make mistakes, or maybe if my faith is big enough. No, this verse is unconditional. The Lord shall deliver. The Lord will preserve. To him be glory. Amen. The Lord will preserve me. I am secure forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, the Apostle Paul says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, in other words, as we have our earthly body, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Just as surely as you have a human body. Look at it. Look right now. Look at your hands. Look at your feet. Look at your legs. Look at yourself. Huh? Do you see your body? Yes, I am seeing my own right now. Just as surely as you are wearing that body, you will wear a heavenly body. That is what this verse says. If you know Christ as your Savior, if you have truly accepted Him, Put your faith and trust in Him. If your sins have been removed by the power of His precious blood, just as surely as you wear that earthly body, you will wear a heavenly body. It is a certainty. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is, unless we make a mistake. I added that. It doesn't say unless we make a mistake. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We must be secure forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. You are dead. You are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Where could you find a safer place for your life to be hidden than with Christ in God? Is it possible for our salvation to be taken away when it is hidden there? Of course not. Verse 4 says that when Christ appears, we shall also appear with Him in glory. Our life, our salvation, is hidden with Him until then and beyond then, forever and forever and forever and forever. Amen and amen. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit of God, says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that is, our bodies, were dissolved, in other words, our bodies die, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says very clearly, again, the Holy Spirit of God speaking through the Apostle John, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have present possession, no conditions, eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. If our salvation could in any possible way be lost, then these verses do not belong in the Bible, for it would be impossible for us to know that we have eternal life. Those of you listening to this tape who believe that we can have salvation and then lose it because of our own sin, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:1 and 1 John 5:13. Turn to it right now. Do you have it? Now tear it from your Bible and throw it on the fire. Burn it. It does not belong there. You don't believe those verses. You won't do that? Then you must believe that you have eternal life, thank God. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. In spite of all my sin and my mistakes, there is in me no judgment, for I am in Christ. He has taken the punishment for my sins. In Christ, I cannot be judged. I am secure forever. The Apostle Paul says again in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. This is one of the strongest verses I know for the security of the believer. God chose me, not at the end of my life, after He knew whether I would succeed or fail, whether I would live a sinless life or not, but before the foundation of the world. He knew all about me, and before the foundation of the world, He chose me that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Either I am secure forever, or God made a mistake in choosing me. To say that God made a mistake is blasphemy. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5, 6, and 7. Even when we were dead in sins, God has given us life together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There is not even a hint of anything uncertain here about our future for those of us who believe. In the ages to come, God will be showing us the exceeding riches of His grace. We have already been seated in heavenly places in Christ. Do you notice that? Look at your Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5, 6, and 7. This is not something in the future. When we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and ask Him to wash our sins away by the power of His precious blood, we are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In order for me to lose my salvation, I need to be thrown out of heaven, and Jesus Christ would need to be thrown out with me, because his work would not be enough to save my soul. Blasphemy, my friend, blasphemy. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the token, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." When we receive Christ as our Savior, that third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, seals us as a down payment, as a promise that he will return, that Jesus Christ will return to take us to himself. How long is that good for? This verse tells us, up to the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 tells us the same thing again, double testimony. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed up to the day of redemption." When you accept Christ and the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, how long does he stay? Right up to the time when we are called home to be with Christ, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 23. We must be secure forever. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." God is so sure of our salvation that he has already enrolled us as citizens of heaven. John chapter 3, verses 15, 16, and 36. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." If everlasting life does not last forever, then it is not everlasting life. God is a liar. If one truly has everlasting life, he must be secure forever. John chapter 6, verse 37. "All that the Father has given me shall come to me." And Jesus says, "Him who comes to me, I will never, never throw out." John chapter 6, verses 39 to 40. "This is the Father's will who sent me, that of all who he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me," Jesus said, "that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Do not doubt God and his great plan. Do not doubt the power and the word of Jesus Christ. Do not call God a liar. Do not treat Jesus Christ like a small boy. He has promised, and he will perform that promise. Amen. In God's word, eternal, everlasting life is spoken of over and over and over again as a present possession of the believer. Something that we have right now, not as just something in the future that we might have if we live a successful Christian life. It is ours now. If one who now possesses eternal life could in any way lose that eternal life, then it was never eternal in the first place. God also says that we know that we have that eternal life. If we could lose it in any way, we could not know. We could only hope. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, For true, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me possesses eternal life and will never come under condemnation, but has already passed out of death into life. Did you hear that? Has already passed out of death into life. This does not say that the believer may someday get eternal life if he holds on, but rather that he has it now. He has already passed out of death into life. This life which he possesses is everlasting. It is eternal. If he could ever lose it or throw it away himself, it was not everlasting in the first place. The Apostle Paul says, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, "He has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." What a powerful verse this is. He has saved us. He has called us. It is not according to our works. We saw that in the last message. But according to His own purpose. And when did this happen? Before the world began. Does God make mistakes? The truth of the Word of God stands and falls together. If you believe that our salvation is by faith, not works, then you must also believe that it is eternal, not just for a short time and then to be lost. If we deny the eternal security of the believer, we must also deny that the work is by faith and by grace only. Salvation is not something that we do ourselves. If salvation from the penalty of sin was brought about by our own good works and we could lose it by bad works, then we would lose it. Because the Word of God does say in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is speaking about believers. Yes, we do sin. Yes, we do make mistakes, but our salvation is secure in Christ, and we will take this subject up and look at it very closely in the next two Bible studies. Praise God. If you listen to this message again, you will understand very clearly that the Word of God teaches beyond any shadow of doubt that when we accept Christ as our Savior, we are secure forever in and through our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the value of His work and His blood before God. Thank God, and may the Lord bless everyone who is listening to these tapes. We look forward to being with you again for message number 9.